Let's try this again, shall we, Sean?
Yeah, let's try again. Take two.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Talkaholics, episode six?
Number six.
Six. Sean confirms. Sean is here too.
Hello, bonjour. I'm back.
He's back.
Not that I went anywhere.
No. You don't often go anywhere, actually. You basically live at that desk.
I went to the shop.
Oh, you did go to Asda today, yeah.
I went
shopping.
Other
supermarkets are available.
I went shopping, yeah, I did that. And I got some lunch while I was out.
Ooh, what'd you get?
I had a cheeseburger from a well-known fast food restaurant.
Does this well-known fast food restaurant begin with M and end in Onalds?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, and I had a...
Shocker.
I had a cheeseburger. I had a double
cheeseburger.
A double cheeseburger. Yeah, I really treated myself.
Oh, man. Well, episode six, then. Today is going to be all Sean, ladies and gentlemen, because I've been so busy at work, I have got no notes.
That's poor excuse, Chris.
It is, yeah. I'm really sorry. I've let you down.
Disappointed. Yeah. Not angry, just disappointed.
Just disappointed, yeah. Sorry that I've let you down. So Sean is going to take the reins today and talk about Charles and his speech.
But yeah, today has been a big day.
Mm.
Lots of pomp and ceremony and yeah.
It's, pomp.
Yeah, that's what pomp. It's called. That's what it's called. It's it was very glorious seeing the king and queen in the carriage going down horse guards.
That carriage must weigh so much.
So they were in the most up-to-date carriage today.
Yes.
Because they get a choice. They don't have to use the Golden State carriage because that is the most uncomfortable vehicle that humanity has ever invented. So he used the carriage that had all the mod cons. It's the sort of the most recently built one.
Oh, nice. So it's got aircon. TV,
probably,
Sky.
Probably. And suspension.
Suspension?
I know, which is something the gold carriage didn't really have.
Pimp my carriage.
I know. That's
So, basically, the king has been given a speech by Keir that Keir's written, right?
But it's written by the government, yeah.
It's written by the government, right?
Yeah, and it's...
And it's... Go on, Sean.
It sets out what the government's agenda for Parliament is.
Basically, it's what their plans are, right?
Yeah, essentially. And it introduces the bills that they're going to bring forward into Parliament to try and legislate.
Which will obviously pass with flying colours because they've got a stonking majority.
Well, some of them may do. You've got to remember, the way that our legislative system works is we've got the House of Commons.
Say legislative system again.
No, I'm okay, thanks.
Damn
it. It's quite a mouthful, isn't it?
Damn it, I ruined it. Go on, sorry.
So we've got the House of Commons, we've got the House of Lords, and then we've got the King. So, you know, even though something gets through the House of Commons, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to become law.
Yeah.
Because the House of, as we know, with many laws in the past, such as Brexit and stuff like that, there's been lots of back and forth between the Lords and the Commons and
ping pong, they call it. Then.
Yeah, and filibustering.
Filibustering.
In the Lords and
yeah.
stuff like that. And it just wastes time, essentially. So laws don't get passed.
So it's good that they have that sort of oversight.
Exactly. But the big question today, when I woke up this morning watching the news, I was watching Kay Burley.
Correction, Sean woke up this morning to say goodbye to me at 7:30. He then fell back asleep.
I only went back to sleep for about 15, 20 minutes because I had to get up again.
As he does every morning, by the way.
Usually it's longer.
Usually it's longer, yeah. Usually he spends a lot longer in bed.
Yeah, this morning not quite as long, but...
Some days I get home and he hasn't even left his bed.
Wow, that's not true. Well, it depends. If it's a weekend, maybe not. It depends.
The King goes to the Commons, Sean, and...
Yeah, so he goes to the Commons, sets out this speech and with all these bills and what his government is going to do over the course of the Parliament.
Yes.
And then he goes off back home There's obviously lots of other pageantry that happens. Black Rod bangs on the door of the Commons.
The King kidnaps one of the MPs.
Yes.
Did you know this?
Yes, that is a ceremony. That is since King John, I believe.
It was Charles the First.
Was it Charles the First? I thought it was John.
I read about this today. It was Charles the First.
And because... it was due to poor relations between the king and the...
Let me see if I still have the history page open on my phone.
Yeah, but while you're looking at that, one question that I woke up this morning and watched the news. And one of the questions that was being asked was, as a democratic nation, should we have a king or a monarch? What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
Why do we have a monarch?
Well, should we have one?
Should we
have one? As a democratic nation?
Yes. I believe we should have a monarch.
Great. Me too.
Because, well, I mean, there's an argument two and four here, isn't there, right? You can say, all right, the royal family don't really do anything. They take a lot of money from the public coffers. And all this is true. However, what people fail to realise sometimes, I think, is that actually the royal family do bring in a lot of money to the economy. How many Americans that come over to see the royal family? It's not just British people that line the streets at these celebrations. Foreigners come from all over the world, Canada, all inside the Commonwealth, to view the royal family.
Oh,
so
yeah,
their
definitely.
Economic benefit outweighs their economic cost.
And quite interestingly, the most recent study by Ipsos Mori on support for the monarchy puts public support at around 60%, which
really?
Is still quite high. It's actually quite low in the history of monarchy approval. They usually used to sit around the 70-80 mark. But yeah,
has this dropped since Elizabeth passed?
It's dropped slowly over the last 30 years, really. You know,
yeah.
Diana, that it dropped because of Diana's death and just events. You know, it has slowly declined, but it's still at 60%. That's still more than half of the population. So
I would say that's pretty good, really.
Yeah, I agree. I think we should have a monarchy. What is the harm in having the monarchy? They bring economic benefits. They bring pageantry to our country. They make us look like a beautiful nation sometimes.
Beautiful.
Even though sometimes our politics is actually quite ugly. Occasionally. Ooh. Nowhere near as ugly as the American politics. But
especially during the Brexit years.
Oh my god. That was awful, wasn't it?
I found the article, Sean.
Oh, yes. Back to King Charles.
Yes. So, let me just get to the right part. Here we go. So another tradition to assure the monarch's safety was introduced in 1649 and sees a member of the Commons taken hostage in Buckingham Palace while the King or Queen attends Westminster. This again relates to when the monarch and Parliament's relationship was more fractured, meaning the King wanted assurances that he wouldn't be harmed while in Westminster.
Which is fair enough.
This is a Sky News article, by the way, that I'm reading from here. So I just wanted to skip back a few lines. Because two of the most bizarre traditions take place behind the scenes during the King's speech. So the yeomen of the guard, the royal bodyguards, carry out a search of the cellars and the Palace of Westminster for explosives. Three guesses why that is. Three guesses why they do that, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we wonder why.
Yeah, November 5th, ring any bells? No? Okay.
No, it doesn't ring any... I have nothing in my calendar.
So it's a ceremonial search dating back to the King's speech in 1605. Then monarch, King James I, a Protestant... by the way, had cause for concern in the aftermath of the Guy Fawkes gunpowder plot, a failed attempt by English Catholics to blow him and Parliament up.
Yep.
So another tradition to assure the monarch's safety was introduced in 1649, and this was the hostage taking.
Exactly.
So there you go. Which is quite interesting that we still have these really old traditions and still carry out these old pageantry. Like, you know,
well, it's because
trooping the colour and stuff like that.
It's part of our constitution.
I'm just gonna have a zesty beverage, excuse me.
It's part of our constitution. It's what makes the British democratic system work the way that it does.
Hooray, that's why we need a king.
Exactly.
Going back to your earlier question, Sean.
And if you look at other monarchies around the world, they have good standings too. You know, there's no detriment of having a monarchy compared to being a republic. the UK ranks above the USA, for example, in the majority of stats.
Yeah, yeah.
When it comes to politics, political stability, political
And these people are trained from like such a young age to live this way, aren't they? I mean, don't get me. I have the feeling that the is it the king or queen of Holland now? I think it might be a king, right?
Well, I know the queen abdicated.
She abdicated to her grandson.
Grandson,
right?
Yeah.
So he is the king now. I have the feeling he is going to struggle keeping a straight face when Prime Minister Dick Shoof turns up. Like that you're gonna struggle not to laugh at that, aren't you? Even the most
good old Dick Shoof,
right? I'm sorry, Dick Shoof, if you're listening, you are a great guy. I love you. I have a really particularly sweary surname, which involves the same appendage. So. You know, I'm with you, buddy, but I'm sorry, but Dick Shoof, tell me that your full name is Richard Shoof. That's what I want it to be.
You'd be down the courts in the morning, wouldn't you, changing your name?
Yes, I'd like to change my name to Penis Shoof.
Yeah, anything but this.
Anything but this. Yes, that's anything but this Shoof. Hi, nice to meet you. Moving on then.
But yes, back to the King's speech.
So the King walks
and
in.
And not the film.
Not the film, yeah, not the film.
Not the film.
No, that is a good film, by the way.
I've never seen it.
Have you not? Ah, it's a good film.
I've never seen it.
It is a good film. So the King is given this speech by Keir. There you go.
Yeah.
Speak about his son. He hasn't even got to do any work. All he's got to do is show up in his golden carriage.
Yeah, but he has to wear all the crown and the jewels.
Oh, no. He has to wear a huge fucking jeweled crown and be all, look at me.
The crown is 1.6 kilos.
Well, I would be more impressed if it was 1.6 tons.
Plus, the robe itself is many kilos.
Many kilos. Is that a stated fact?
That is, yeah. Many kilos.
Is that what it says on the Gov website, is it?
That is the .gov definition of the weight of the robe. Many nuts. Kilos.
Many kilos. Just that, you know, that many kilos.
Yeah.
So I'm doing air quotes.
But it's,
for those of you listening at home.
It's heavy stuff. And you've got to remember, he's a 76. His wife turned 77 today. They're old people.
He literally has to walk up an aisle, sit down in a chair and read.
He has to get in the carriage.
Oh, yeah. A solid gold carriage with suspension.
It's not solid gold. They don't use the solid gold one anymore. They use the black one.
I wonder why. No wonder they need like 50 horses to pull the thing. It probably weighs like 50 tons, the gold one.
It is quite heavy.
No, yeah, no shit. It's made out of solid gold. Anyway,
that's enough about the monarchy.
Solid gold.
Shouldn't have opened that can of worms.
And then, so, Keir is introducing 40 bills.
40 bills, yeah.
Just let that sink in for a second. 40 over the course of this parliament, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
With a stonking majority, I might add.
Yeah. It's not the most bills ever introduced, but it's up there.
Yeah?
It's the most...
ambitious.
It's the most since, I believe, 1951.
It's ambitious. But completely doable.
Yeah, he beat Boris Johnson's 2021 state opening of Parliament by one bill.
Oh, so what, Bojo had 39?
Yes.
He? Wow.
And Keir went for 40.
How many did Rishi have?
Like 21.
Oh, nice. Okay. So, what is our King waffling on about, thanks to Keir, Sean?
Okay, so, well, first things first... some of the bills have been brought through from previous Conservative governments.
Okay.
So some specific ones for that. It's Martin's Law.
Yes, Martin's Law.
Which is, terrorism protection of premises. So it's to prevent, like, the Manchester Arena bombing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it's to ensure higher security at events like that.
Oh, cool, okay. Yeah, I think that was probably needed, right?
They've brought that forward. They've also brought forward Rishi Sunak's tobacco and vapes bill. Preventing people born after 2009 from ever being able to buy cigarettes or tobacco.
So this is the we've mentioned this on a previous podcast of ours. This is the incremental age increase. So basically,
yes.
Every year it'll start at what it is currently now, 18,
And then every year it'll go, you need to be 19, you need to be 20, you need to be 21, you need to be 22, you need to be 23.
Until the point everyone is dead who can buy cigarettes.
And until the point that everybody is dead and smoke it, bags gone from the country. Yeah. Bags, by the way, are the British term for cigarettes. I'm not using a derogatory term.
No.
Just to point that out, okay.
As part of this bill, it's also about changing the vape packaging and making it like cigarette packaging, so it's all just plain and it's not colourful and appealing to youths and stuff like that. Probably limiting flavours.
I mean, it's a good idea, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't know. You'd have to look at... it's not something I've looked into, but you'd have to look at the statistics about how effective it was getting people... Like, changing the packaging of cigarettes. How effective was that in changing smokers' behaviour or stopping people from smoking?
I mean, I don't like the pictures on the packaging. Ugh.
They're gross.
Yeah, they are gross. Somebody, though... here's an interesting tidbit for you that I saw in the news a few years back. Someone's picture was actually used on those packages.
Yeah.
That they hadn't agreed to be used. So imagine this woman's horror when she went out and bought a pack of fags, cigarettes.
Yeah.
Ferrara, or what do they call them in America? Pack of smokes?
Pack of smokes.
Pack of smokes. Went out and bought a pack of smokes. To her horror, opened it up and saw her granddad's illness. On the packaging.
Lovely.
It was enough to make her stop smoking, you'll be glad to know. However, I think they got a payout maybe. You'll have to do some Googling.
But that's my question. How effective is it in stopping people smoking or preventing people from starting smoking?
I think this is a more long-term thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Eventually it'll go the same way as cigarettes have, where age it out.
Yeah, I think we need to look at this in the long term and say, actually, in 100 years' time, it could be that Britain is smoke-free, and it's setting the foundations for that.
Yeah, which is not a bad thing. You know, smoking is a terrible habit.
Says two vapors.
Yeah. But... we're adults.
We are, yes, and that makes it okay.
Because we made the decision legally to vape. Whereas, because of the youthful colours used in vape packaging, they say it appeals to children who aren't
allowed
to purchase them.
So I've got some packaging in front of me, right, okay. And these are SKE Crystal Lemon and Lime nicotine pods for my electronic cigarette, right?
Yes.
And looking at the packaging, Sean, what do you see?
Bright colours.
Yep. On the front... can you see anything else?
It says this product contains nicotine, which is a highly addictive substance.
I mean, that's not really a warning, is it? That's more of a fact.
It is a fact. Yeah, it literally is a fact.
Yeah, it says no 18 on the side of it. It is security tagged as well because...
fantastic.
Us Brits are rascals.
Yeah, you know, we steal coffee, apparently.
Yes, and to get round the disposable e-cigarette thing, what they've done is, and I'm totally guilty of this... they've just separated the battery and the pod, so you now buy the two pods that are disposable. So the battery you keep.
Yeah, but and that's a loophole in the law, I suppose, with the disposables.
There
isn't
you go.
It?
So they've already found a loophole around it, and they're already preparing to do it. But the packaging hasn't changed. That is still brightly coloured. It is.
Yeah.
It is yellow, green. It's got a little bit of red on it. It looks like. Do you know what it looks like? It actually looks like a Starburst packet.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, and that's the problem,
you know what
that they're saying. Is it appeals to children. It appeals to young people. It looks good. It looks cool. So if you make everything plain and boring and green, like cigarettes, then, you know, you're not going to have a problem, right?
Yeah.
So it's following the same thing as smoking. As I said, I don't know how effective it's going to be. I don't know how effective it was with smoking. People still smoke. There are still millions of people in this country that smoke cigarettes. And young people that are just 18, 19 smoking cigarettes. So it obviously wasn't that effective.
What is even more depressing is on my way to work in the morning in the car, I see school kids in primary school uniforms using these things.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. Now... whether they've got nicotine in or not, I don't know. I can only assume that they do because they look exactly like the ones that we've got.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's the thing, and it's so easy for them to get them. So that's what this. That's why it's a good thing that they've brought that one forward.
Start setting the foundations now, and then maybe in five or six generations,
yeah.
Think how healthy the country will be.
Yeah, there's another bill that you'll be pleased to know has been brought forward from the Tory Parliament.
Oh, is it the RRB?
The Renters Reform Bill has been reintroduced by His Majesty the King.
So hang on a minute. So far, all we've done is put Rishi Sunak's policies through the washing machine.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, moving on.
So we've got Renters Reform. Another one that we've got is the Football Governance Bill, introducing the football regulator. They brought that forward.
Oh, that's a Rishi Bill.
That's a Rishi Bill.
That is a Rishi Bill. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, okay. Let's get on to some non-Rishi bills, shall we?
Okay.
So they have broken these down into some nice, useful headings. So this one is Great British Energy.
Oh, okay. So this is their flagship energy policy during the election. They want to make a energy company.
Energy company, yeah. However, the logistics aren't clear. So it's not clear whether they're going to be a wholesaler or whether they're going to be a retail energy supplier. So is it going to be a case of businesses go to them to get their gas and electric, or can me and you go to them and say, I want my electricity provided by Great British Energy as a customer? I want to be your customer.
Yeah, but surely everyone would just go, okay, let's go to them because they're cheap. And all of the other energy companies in the country are going, well, shit.
Yeah, but so these are things that need to be ironed out yet. They're not clear, but this is what the Great British Energy Bill is for.
All right. Moving on.
So they also go for the Crown Estate Bill. So this is to introduce the National Wealth Fund.
Oh, yes, yes. We spoke about this in Manifesto Destiny, the specials.
Yeah, yeah. And they also want to... There's more crime and policing bills coming forward, tougher sentencing, banning knives...
All good stuff.
All good
that
stuff.
Needed and to be done.
It was quite interesting this evening. I was listening to some campaigners that have Pooja. I can't remember her last name, but she lost her one of her. I think it was her son was killed by a ninja sword.
Mm. A katana.
Yeah. Yeah. They're called ninja swords.
Are they called ninja swords?
Yeah. I thought and that's what the law. Blade. That's what they're going to be called in the law as well. And they're going to be banned. For example, so they're saying that they're glad they're listening, that the government is finally listening, which is a nice change rather than from hearing campaigners who are saying we're not being listened to. So we'll see how that gets on, right?
Again, only a good thing. I mean, this also goes back to how easy these things are to get, right?
Oh, exactly. At the moment, you can just buy them online.
Same with this crossbow incident that happened.
Oh, yeah, with the double murder.
The triple
murder, sorry.
Which was an absolutely horrible thing. John Hunt.
John Hunt, yeah.
And his and
BBC
two daughters
guy
and his wife.
Sports racing commentator.
Obviously, heartfelt condolences. What an awful tragedy to have happened.
I know, can you imagine?
I can't even fathom the pain and the heartfelt... The loss. I can't begin to comprehend it. I can't even find my words. That's how mad it is. And I really hope they find solace in the fact that they got the word I can't say on podcast.
Yes, yes, that person.
But good news, we didn't need a beep.
No, we didn't need a beep.
There you go.
But yeah, so it's about banning these and making our streets safer, you know? It's not safe out there sometimes, especially in certain areas.
No, exactly, yeah. Everybody has that certain part of town that they avoid because they know that it's bad.
Exactly.
That's the kind of stuff that we need to stop happening. And you know what? I mean, so far, he's doing the right things, Keir. I didn't vote for his party at the election. I know. We still haven't said who we voted for.
No.
But I didn't vote for Labour. I will confirm that. I did vote for someone else. I didn't vote Labour. I did vote for someone else, just clarifying that. I didn't just go in and write not Labour.
No. I wrote not Labour on the bottom, put a box next to it and crossed in that.
So it's going to be interesting to see, like, the Great British Energy policy. That was going to be, you know, an energy provider in my mind. Now they're saying, oh, it could be a wholesaler. Really? Okay, so are they starting to backpedal?
Well,
we need to watch them and give them a lot of scrutiny, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, yeah, definitely. And that's the point of that's the benefit of our democracy in this country, is we can scrutinize. Another quite interesting thing is the Railways Bill.
This is nationalising the railways, isn't
this it? This is bringing all rail companies back under public ownership. So full renationalisation, and it'll be called Great British Rail.
For fuck's sake. Give everything hope. Great British. Yeah. So whenever when they have their first scandal in office, it's going to be the Great British Scandal now, is it?
Yeah, probably.
Did Keir get all his ideas from the Great British Break Off?
Or the Great British Sewing Bee?
Or, yeah, or the there's That's another one about painting. I can't remember what that one's called. Oh, yeah, it's the Great British Painting Competition. Yeah, that one.
Portrait Artist of the Year.
Yeah, that one. The Great British Portrait Artist of the Year.
Yeah, that one.
Wow.
But at the heart of the King's speech, though...
At the heart of things.
At the heart of it is the...
That's funny, I didn't realise Charles had a heart.
Yeah, he questionably does. Even if it's just there to pump blood around his body.
Yeah.
That's all it does.
Doesn't really serve any other purpose.
No. But it's about growing the economy.
Yes.
Boosting growth. So that is about renationalising the railways, trying to improve the railway network, transport, you know, improving buses.
Making the country work again. I feel like, I said this before, I feel like the country doesn't work.
Yeah.
You can't get a doctor's
appointment anymore.
There's
stuff that's broken. There is stuff that's broken.
You can't get a train anywhere anymore without it being delayed or cancelled or leaves on the line or somebody's trampoline being stuck in the wind.
The question that I have is that going to be solved by bringing it under public ownership?
I think it means there'll be more scrutiny.
Because they're not going to put the fares down. Let's be honest about that. The fares won't go down.
With them being under public ownership, the fares aren't going to profits. They're going to reinvestment. So that
hopefully
will improve things.
They're going into the Treasury's pocket, so that way the Treasury could spend the money elsewhere if it needed to.
Well, let's give them the chance, you know. Let's see what happens.
We'll see, yeah. But my question is, I don't necessarily know if renationalisation is the way forward. But I could be proved wrong. I'm always open to that. They've got the Better Buses Bill.
The Better Buses Bill? The BBB?
The Better Buses Bill. Yeah, they've got that. But interestingly, high-speed rail crew to Manchester.
What? Oh my God. Sean, is it coming back?
Well, it's not the original.
It's not the original.
No,
it's not the
so
OG.
That was
HS2B.
It was because that was Euston to Manchester, wasn't it?
HS2, yes, I believe.
The northern leg.
Well, Birmingham to Manchester was the northern leg.
Yeah, well, it was from Euston to Birmingham.
Birmingham to
and
Manchester.
And then Birmingham to Manchester.
But then it was also going to go on to Leeds as well.
Yeah, and then across the northern line.
Yes.
But yes, they want to, it's from the looks of it, crew to Manchester.
Crewe to Manchester.
Yeah.
So, for those of you who don't know, Crewe is just outside of Birmingham.
Yeah.
I believe. Northern Birmingham? Sean's going to check this on a map for me now.
Oh, am I?
You are, yeah. So, yeah, Crewe is roughly Birmingham. So, this is good, because this means Manchester will have a high-speed rail link to London, which means it will now be quicker to get the train to London than to fly there from Manchester.
Crewe is just north of Stoke-on-Trent.
Yeah, okay, so that's good. What about the leg to Leeds?
Not mentioned.
Okay.
Not mentioned.
At least we're getting something.
Exactly, you know.
For me and Sean, we live in the north of England, so that's important to us.
It's a bit more than
it means
we
the capital's a bit more accessible.
Exactly. At the moment, it takes 3 hours to get there.
Yeah, that's like, if you're lucky.
It's crazy, and that's if the trains are running, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's quite a lot of bills in there. The Employment Rights Bill is a big one. So I was looking at this bill and I went, employers are going to look at this and they're going to question if that is really boosting economic growth.
Okay.
So it is a good policy, don't get me wrong. So it's banning 0-hour contracts.
Okay.
So people should be entitled, should have contracts for the regular hours that they work.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
So it would be a bad... But the problem is...
Because I was on a 0-hour contract once, and one week they just rang me up and said, we haven't got any work for you this week. And I was like, shit.
Yeah, see,
I've now lost a week's wage. That's like my council tax and my water bill.
I used to be on a 0-hour contract, and it used to be great for me. I was a student at the time. It was fantastic. You know, the job worked around me. If I had more hours one week to work than the other...
For some people it works, some people it doesn't.
Exactly. It doesn't, the wording doesn't say that it's going to ban it completely in every circumstance.
Well, that's good, because I think there are some circumstances that do require it, like veg pickers.
Yeah, for example. Again, that's questionable. There's still, it's not set in stone. They need, there's more detail to come about that.
Okay.
So, a lot to come, but that'll be good. They want to also devolve powers to sort of metro mayors, combined authorities.
I mean, yeah, that was always a Labour policy, wasn't it, that one?
Oh, definitely. Considering they hold the majority of
the mayors.
The mayors.
The
mayoralties.
Mayoralties, that's the word I was looking for, mayorships. That's not the right word at all.
And if we go back to, I can't remember what episode it might have been, Manifesto Destiny, might have been three, immigration.
Immigration was the first one, Sean.
Oh, was it the first one? Shit the bed. Oh, well, I suppose Nigel Farage did say it was an immigration election.
Oh, you said it.
It was an immigration election.
Just a point of order as well, just skipping back to something I said earlier. I didn't wrote reform either, okay?
No, definitely not. So, what do you think was mentioned about immigration in the King's speech?
The task force.
Yes.
Yeah?
The much-tailored, trailed Border Security Command.
The BSC.
Yeah.
The BSC, it sounds like a bank.
But just before fact-checking on this...
Oh, okay.
It already existed.
Oh.
Just for full clarity. They've just renamed a department.
Oh, is it? I think I know which one it was. I can't remember the name of it, but I think it was like, was it like the something? It was something.
Joint
task force.
Yeah,
right?
It was, because it was with the French, and essentially it's what. They've launched.
Wasn't it Michael Gove that went over and spoke to them about it?
It might have been. I can't remember. It was a while ago that happened. It was. But that's all that was mentioned about immigration.
Just the task force.
Just the Border Security Command.
Baby steps.
Baby steps indeed, because if you're asking me, that doesn't look like hitting the ground running.
No? I'd say there's a lot in there.
In terms of immigration?
In terms of immigration, no.
Hey, which is the point that I was...
And it has officially tipped over the 1,000 mark of immigrants that have come over on the boats since Keir took office.
Crikey.
1,000.
One whole 1,000 people.
Yes.
Crazy.
We're running out of space to house them, and Keir isn't really doing anything about it.
No. And that's something that was lacking from the speech. There was nothing about mandatory housing targets, which was something that was expected. But they did say that might come in the framework later on.
I mean, maybe they're... Oh, I lost my train of thought. God damn it.
So easy to do, isn't it?
I know. I had a really good point as well. Damn it. I'm not even going to cut this out. I'm going to leave this in so people know how disappointed I am that I lost my train of thought there. Carry on, Sean. Sorry.
Sorry, pardon me. But yeah, moving on to fucking hell. Pardon me.
Are you good?
I'm good, yeah. So moving on to defence. So they are going to introduce a bill to establish an armed forces commissioner, which is an independent military, independent champion for the military.
I mean, there's only so many times you can launch a review into something, and now they're going to hire someone literally to do that. They've already launched a review into the defence.
The defence review is already ongoing, yeah. So, but then they want to introduce this commissioner too. Yeah. But they have said that 2.5% will be spent on defence when conditions allow.
Okay.
It's turning into a bit of a slogan now.
Yeah, that is a slogan for them, and they love a slogan, don't they?
They love a slogan. They really do.
So, King's Speech then, Sean. You've seen a few of these. This is only my fifth or sixth that I've seen. Maybe fourth or fifth, perhaps?
Right, yeah.
So I don't... I mean, I guess it doesn't really mean much, because the government could just go ahead and do what they want. Right.
Well, it's a very full shopping list. As I said, 40 bills, that is quite high in terms of normal numbers, in terms of historic numbers. It's only sort of Bojo that came close, and then before that, you're going back to the 50s.
Oh, really? Wow, that far back?
Yeah.
Wow.
To really get... Well, that's the only... That's in the 45... I think it was 45 or 51. They brought forward quite a lot of bills. But again, that was post-war.
Oh, yeah, that makes
sense. So that'd be expected, wouldn't it?
Well, you never know. We may break that record soon.
Yeah, post-World War III.
Yeah, and one final note that I just wanted to... I don't know if we spoke about this last week. Did we mention Trump nearly being shot? I don't remember.
No, because it happened at the weekend. It happened literally just at the weekend.
It happened at the weekend, right, yeah. So for those of you who haven't seen any news outlet in the last few days, somebody tried to shoot Trump.
If you haven't seen it, have you been living in a cave?
Yeah, somebody tried to shoot Trump. He survived. He was clipped in the ear. A massive failing in security by the Secret Service, by the looks of things, but there's still a report to be done.
Honestly,
just another point of order. Don't throw milkshakes at people, don't throw cement at people, and don't fucking shoot them. It's not hard.
It's not rocket science, is it? Like, this list is getting incredible. It's getting longer and longer.
It's getting longer, yeah.
And we're only on episode 6.
Right. I mean, we did all the Manifesto Destinies as well. We'll gloss over those. They were special.
Yeah, they were specials.
They were specials for a reason. So we've had milkshakes, rocks, cement. Oh, and Jess Phillips' tyres were slashed.
Yeah, yeah.
During the election. So we can add that. Don't slash people's tyres.
Just don't. Just leave people alone.
Just let them get on with their jobs. Do people come into your job when you're working at Tesco and like stab you in the face and go, "Where's my cabbage?" Like,
if you've got a problem, write a nicely worded email to your MP and they will respond in due course.
In due course, ladies and gentlemen. It takes a lot to run a country, okay? These people do work hard, however pompous they are, however much you hate them, Nigel.
One thing...
However, I don't hate Nigel Farage, by the way. I think he does make some good points. Yes, I just don't
definitely.
Like the way he goes about things.
Sometimes he conducts himself in the wrong way.
Like, there was no reason to drive by John Bercow in the House. We all know that he was, again, a bit pompous. Order! Like, we all know that, but...
He was a bit of a bully, wasn't he?
He was a bit of a bully, yes. He was investigated for it and everything like that. I didn't see that side of him, but he was a very divisive figure on Brexit.
Oh, yeah, definitely, and potentially broke convention within the House, which, you know, is controversial in itself. But this, considering this, we've spoken about the King's Speech and how, you know, some of our traditions go back hundreds of years, or 600 years. Mm. There is one change to our democracy that the Labour Party King's Speech has presented...
Okay, what?
I will say. So, currently, there are around 100 hereditary peers in the House of Lords. So, these are people that are in the House of Lords because of the family that they were born into.
Yeah, they've it's passed down, like, the crown, right?
Yeah, so there's around 100 of these that currently sit in the House of Lords, right? Will Labour want to abolish that?
So, will they get to stay or will they have to go?
I believe it'll be a case of they'll phase them out, so it'll be a case of no one can inherit a lordship moving forward.
Okay.
But the lords that are currently there will be able to stay there, as it were.
So they're not going to lose their job?
No, I can't imagine so.
No.
I don't think the lords get paid. They can claim expenses, but they don't get paid.
And the same goes for the lords, by the way. No cement, no milkshakes.
No bricks.
No bullets.
No bullets.
No slashing of tyres.
Nothing. Just let the peers get on with their lives.
Yes.
You know,
oh, also, one final point on Trump. Putin has today backed Trump's vice president pick.
Fantastic, you know.
So that bodes well for us all, doesn't
it? You know, this is the guy that called the UK the first Islamist state with nuclear weapons and has tried to backtrack on that by saying it was a joke.
God. Just,
like,
God.
Give me strength.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening once again. It's been a pleasure. Sean, thank you for joining me.
You are always welcome, Chris. It's always a pleasure.
We'll see where we are next week. But for now, we'll leave you in peace.
Yes, we will.
See you soon.
Much love. Bye.